heart and soul of a nation, beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor.
Our soul. The challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation.
The nation.
And now, Malcolm.
Well, Hong Kong is facing a major, major political crisis, people, as it now heads into this is about the 10th week of really mass demonstrations and protests. You know, when this first started, I really thought it would blow over because there, you know, I've seen this happen time and time again out there. I mean, the people are restless, clearly. They want their freedom. You got to remember right up front here that the Hong Kong people, I mean, they have lived in a free society. That's what they want. They don't want to be under a repressive regime such as China. They don't want to live in a communist country. So thousands of demonstrators now, and even the Hong Kong International Airport, one of the busiest airports in the world, shut down a couple of days for flights, just back online now. But things are really at a tipping point there, it seems. And, you know, it's very interesting. I've always been fascinated with Hong Kong. It just is because of the history and where it comes from. And you have to remember there is a lot of history there in Hong Kong. I mean, you've got to remember it was 1997, I believe it was, that the British handed it over to the Chinese. And, you know, I remember the day it happened. I really do. It's one of those days. You know how certain days in your life you remember things that happened? That's one of those days because I was really sad. I was really sad about it because I knew the country would never be the same again. I knew that I really did. I knew it would be screwed up forever. So I knew the Chinese were going to mess it up. I had no doubt in my mind. So what's this all about? So protesters are demanding that Hong Kong leader Carrie Lam pull the legislation that would allow the government to extradite people to mainland China. Now, this is the first step of many that's going to happen. I mean, China's all about taking this back. They want it back. They want it under their communist control. They don't want a free Hong Kong. I mean, I knew that. And they're not going to honor their agreements. And the other problem, people, is the Chinese simply don't honor their word. They don't. You can't take them at their word. You never can. The history has always been that way, which is another reason why I knew the 50 years would never happen. The Hong Kong people know that, you know, what's happened. They know if the people get extradited, first of all, to China for crimes, they know they're going to face torture. I mean, the human rights in China is, I mean, this is about as repressive in the world as it could possibly be. And of course, we don't really talk about it here in the United States. Certainly politicians don't talk about it because it's kind of poo-poo China. And we got to sort of have a respectful, you know, respective relationship with them to the degree that we can with a communist country and a country that has the most worst human rights of anybody. And yet, you know, Xi Jinping, we have state dinners and they meet him here like he's a regular dictator. He's a dictator for life, you call it. That's part of the problem he's having. A lot of speculation on what's going to happen with Xi Jinping as well. And let me get to the tipping point, but let me also bring in Ilana Friedman and to help me with this heavy toe here, Ilana. But so what's happening right now is hundreds of military vehicles are lined up right now at Shenzhen Bay Sports Center, just across the harbor there, Ilana, from Hong Kong. And of course, the Chinese, you know, what did I just say a moment ago? Can you ever trust the Chinese? So the Chinese state media, now get a load when I say state media, that will tell you, it's the same thing with Russia. It's the same thing with all these countries, you know. So the state media disputed all these claims and they said, no. No, we're just moving the vehicles around, kind of a healthy exercise, if you will. And obviously, the scare is, Ilana, that they're bringing them in to handle the protest and that there's going to be something's going to happen. And they're saying these exercises were planned beforehand some time back, and it has nothing to do with the protest. But now they're also using and saying there's sprouts of terrorism. Those are the catchphrases they're using. So what's your take, first of all, with all these troops moving across the harbor? What's this? I mean, do you buy the fact of what they say there, number one? And two, do you think they're going to come over the bridge?
I rarely buy what they say because
They're known for being deceptive. They're known for lying. They're known for not keeping their word, which, by the way, is part of the problem that we have with this trade agreement we're trying to, that the president is trying to organize, because they don't want to be accountable. And the same thing is true here. They say what they think everybody wants to hear so that they can do what they want when they're ready to do it. This amassing of troops on the border is very disturbing, and it's not clear what's going to happen next. I'm not going to even venture a guess. I think they are certainly willing to go across. But as you mentioned, Hong Kong is the breadbasket of the entire region, the financial center of much of Asia. It's one of the leading financial hubs mm-hmm. of the world.
Yeah.
And if China comes in and imposes communism on Hong Kong, that will be all gone. And that is a huge international story with enormous repercussions around the world.
I don't have a good feeling. But you know, Ilana, the truth of it is, I have always felt in my heart that it's just a matter of time before the Chinese were going to act up on this. I'm serious when I say this to you. I never expected us to get to that 50 years would go by of peace and equality out there, and they would leave Hong Kong alone. And then the other thing, Ilana, is, you know, then you ask yourself too, and I know I certainly did, what happens in 50 years? Well, let me ask you that question. So even if things went well, what happens in 50 years?
50 years as China takes over, but they're killing the goose that laid the golden egg. I'll tell you a story. I was in China about maybe 10, 12 years ago in Hong Kong, and then on mainland China for a conference where I gave a presentation. And the last day of the conference, we had breakfast with one of the leaders of the Chinese government, and we were allowed to ask him questions. And we asked the questions in English because this was a mostly Americans at this conference who were coming in addition to the Chinese components. And so I asked a question and I said, you know, one of the major concerns for the conference was about doing joint ventures between the United States and China. And so when it came my turn to ask the question, I said, one of the things that American companies are very concerned about is maintaining their controls of companies that they bring over here. What is the possibility of, and I never even finished the question, I was going to ask about, you know, nationalization of American companies, but I never got the question out because the translator said to me, I'm not going to translate that question. And that was the end of that. You see, they don't want to be challenged and they don't want to be accountable. So they want to be able to do whatever they choose, whenever they choose to do it. And if it's stealing technology or if it's bludgeoning companies that come over to release their, you know, their privileged information about their products or about their processes, they want to be able to do that without anybody interfering. What they have been doing is stealing between $300 billion and $600 billion worth of intellectual property and proprietary information a year from us. Right. And it's not just that they're stealing it. They're using it to create new product. And with this new product, they're going into the market and undercutting the price of American products because American companies spent millions trying to patent and protect their intellectual property. So then they come in and compete with the same companies that they stole information from, intellectual property from, and they're underselling the people they stole from. So America gets hurt and American companies get hurt many ways, not just one, not just the fact that they stole it, but then they challenge them in the market. And so we are at their mercy unless, as the president has insisted, they are accountable for these crimes.
Well, you know, we're the fools who let them do it, Ilana. Fools that haven't cracked down.
Yes, we are.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And so you always hear these talks. It's a great explanation you put out there, because there's always people that always say, well, they're stealing our intellectual property, or they're, you know, nobody really understands what the hell does that mean. But they are. And not only that, but like you say, they're not honorable when you're dealing with them. Like the whole tariff program, the trade and tariff deal would have been resolved, well, probably a month and a half, 2 months ago, had they kept to their word. They were just about at the point of a deal, or it was about there. And then they changed all the rules at the end, because that's what they do. Same thing they're doing right now when they've gone back on their word with the British, with Hong Kong. Same thing they're doing. You can't take them at their word. And you know, the problem with that is when you're dealing with an adversary or whatever you want to call them at that point, they're certainly not an ally, and you can't take them at their word, then you really have nothing. I mean, you're at ground zero to have any kind of a honest communication with them. You know what's ironic about this, and I want to come back to the point of the flashpoint in a moment here, but what's really ironic and grabs my ass about this whole conversation is, if we had this conversation a year ago or 2 years ago, and you know, you can already see the writing on the wall where China is headed, Ilana. China is going to be one big pain in the you know what for the United States here. And you can see that writing coming fast. And you know what? You and I talked about this a year ago, 2 years ago. We were all over this story. We have been for some time, well before this. And the thing is, what my point is, our politicians and our apparatus here in the United States, and our apparatus, when I say that, I include all the media turds that are in the media outlets, you know, Ilana. And if you put all those together, what they kept preaching is Russia, Russia, Russia. That was the big boogeyman that was going to, you know, come after the, you know, Russia, Russia collusion. It's all Russia's killing us. And Russia's not even a pimple. I mean, they weren't really the problem, Ilana. It was China. And many of us said that, but yet nobody really took heed to that. And you can see right now what the problem we're going to have ahead. China is they're the mega economy. They're the mega people. Russia has nothing for an economy. I mean, they're not going to be a threat. I mean, and you know, but isn't that the truth?
China is a massive threat to the entire world, because China is the second largest economy in the world. Mm-hmm. Second to us. And they want to overtake us. That's their dream. That's their mission. And so what they're doing, though, is actually shooting themselves in both feet, because their economy is imploding because of what they're doing with this trade agreement and with the tariffs that they have to deal with. The companies are leaving China. They're going to Malaysia. They're going to Vietnam. And the Chinese companies are going out of business. And so the economy is going down, and China is investing in military activities in the South China Sea. Right. They're doing all kinds of mischief with North Korea and with Russia and with Iran, I believe, and certainly in Africa. And so they're spread out very, very thin. Mm-hmm. And what happened what happened with the trade agreements is that they agreed on about 95% of all the issues that were in that trade agreement. And that was the senior level, but not the senior most level. So then they all went back to China and Xi Jinping pulled out his senior negotiators, economists, and so forth, and they went through these documents, and lo and behold, what did they find? They found that Donald Trump and his team were demanding accountability from them. Mm-hmm. If they stole, if they misused, if they misrepresented, if they did any of the things that they agreed to do, if they did not do them, or if they did something else that was counterproductive, they would be accountable. And China does not like to be accountable. So in light of that, they canceled the entire agreement. And then when Donald Trump went to negotiate with Xi Jinping in Osaka during the June G20 conference, he suggested, look, why don't we just go back to that agreement? Because, you know, it was a good agreement. We agreed on a lot of stuff. We worked very hard on it. And it's fair to everybody.
But they don't want a fair agreement. They don't want a fair agreement.
No, he was met. Yeah. He was met with stony silence. No answer at all.
Right. Well, Alana, let's be honest. You and I both know. Let's make sure everybody realizes China has been eating our breakfast, lunch, and dinner through how many administrations, China? How many? I mean, forever. It's been a long time.
Decades. Decades.
Yeah, that's right. This crisis is decades in the making, right? I mean, this has been
absolutely coming.
That's,
it is so dangerous for us. It is so destructive for us because, as I said before, we pay millions and millions of dollars to protect this information and this intellectual property, and then we give it away.
Right. So what I want everybody to think about is, so what are our alternatives? So, I mean, let's think in this terms, people. What's the alternatives? What can the United States really do? You know, and I'm seeing a divide clearly there, is like everything here. I mean, there are those who say we need to take action. The United States stands for freedom and democracy, and we need to help those people out. And then others say, stay out of it, butt out of it. It's not our business. So you're going to have two factions here in our country, those who want to get involved, those who want to stay clear of the problem and the crisis. But that's what it is with everything here. So that's one of the things I want to talk about today, is what options do we have available, right? That's something we need to discuss. The other thing is, where is President Trump at on all this? And where's Congress? What are they saying about all of this? You know, that's another point here. And then again, where are we at on the flashpoint? What are the chances of that this continues onward? I mean, again, when this first started, I thought it was going to settle down, but it appears that it's getting more heated up. So it may not settle down at all. In which case, and it really depends upon if China comes to their senses and if they back off. That's really what's going to happen here. And back off meaning they're going to stop that law, because the protesters are not going to allow this extradition law that they're trying to push through. Again, it's a control mechanism, people. They're trying to take control of Hong Kong. And you know what it is? You whittle away at the freedoms, little by little by little. That's all it is. It may not be so much today, but then how much more do they want next week and the week after? And then that's what's happened. And again, you have to remember the dividing factor of all these people is that the Hong Kong people, it's kind of hard to take freedom away once you've had it, isn't it now? And they've had freedom always in their existence. They've never been tied to this regime in the way, like I say, and when, you know, Britain gave it back and that whole thing happened clearly in 97. It was a sad day for humanity. It was a sad day for the human race, quite frankly.
Listen to Malcolm, the Voice of a Nation on iHeartRadio or our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa.
Spreading the out loud truth from sea to shining sea. AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. We are the vision of the voices. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. So one of the flashpoints that one of the disagreements we're actually seeing is many of the reports are that the Chinese, and what have you heard about this, Alana? Because we're hearing that the Chinese have dispatched, if you will, some officers from China to kind of get into the ranks there of the Hong Kong police. And they're also, it's been reported now, that they have planted decoys within all those protester groups, Alana, that they've been doing that. And the reason for that is, we say, why would they do that? Well, it's to keep an eye on things, number one. And number two, they're doing it, they're trying to encourage more of the violence. They want the violence, is what they're saying, because they're hoping that will get a lot of Hong Kong residents, a lot of the regular people who live there, to turn against the movement and tell them to, you know, button down and knock it off. That the, you know, in other words, the people of Hong Kong will get after the protesters. Is that a good strategy for China to do, do you think? Is that a good move by the Chinese, or is this... does it make any sense?
I don't think it's a very good strategy. I've heard both stories about the police. In fact, the police were sort of outed because, you know, they speak Cantonese in Hong Kong, but they speak Mandarin on the mainland. And so what would happen is that the police in Hong Kong would talk among themselves in Cantonese. But then the decoys, or the plants rather, would turn around and speak to others in Mandarin. And that's how they outed themselves. They are clearly infiltrating the Hong Kong police. There's no question about that. And they have also been reported to be infiltrating the crowds, these masses of people. And they want to encourage violence. And there is a small, violent element among the people who are demonstrating. And they're the ones who broke into the government house, and they're the ones who broke the windows and are writing graffiti and so forth. But by far, the majority of the demonstrators are peaceful. They are chanting, they're carrying signs, and they're singing, but they are not making trouble in a violent way.
Right.
Nevertheless, they are being attacked by the police, probably goaded on by the Chinese police, who are among their ranks. Mm-hmm. And in fact, there was a nurse who was out there trying to help people who got injured, and she was shot in the eye with a rubber bullet by the police. Mm-hmm. And she's become a kind of martyr to the cause. The people of Hong Kong are fighting for their freedom. As you pointed out earlier, they have been free all their lives. The British acquired Hong Kong in 1842. And so for all these years, the people of Hong Kong have been living in a free market society, in a free market economy, in a free market, in a free society. And their judges are British judges. They're not. Why do they not like the extradition agreement? Because they would have to send people who were accused of a crime to Chinese judges on the mainland. And the British judges and the British court system would not apply anymore. Mm-hmm. And they do not want this because they want their freedom and they want their
judicial system. It's a big deal.
It's a huge deal.
Because, like you say, that's the way they take over the courts and all of that. Because, you know, I mean, the British are entrenched there. I mean, a lot of these people, that's their way of life, clearly. Well, listen, let me bring everybody up to speed with Congress. Let me tell you, a lot of the top lawmakers there in the House of Foreign Affairs Committee, they issued a bipartisan statement, they're saying, suggesting given ridicule to universal condemnation and swift consequences, they're saying. Now, you know, Ilana, that's easy for congressional leaders to say, you know, to sit on their high horse and say, yeah, universal condemnation. Well, okay, well, that's easy enough. We can tell them to go to hell and knock it off. Okay, super. And then, and swift consequences. And what are the swift consequences? So let me ask you, before I go further, as I got more loaded in here I want to tell you about, but what just... Let's play a little game here of what swift consequences mean. What do swift consequences mean? What can we do? What are we going to do? What can we do?
I'm not sure we can do anything. We're not going to get into war with China, that's for sure. So we're not going to bring our military in or our navy in. This is a very serious problem because there is very little we can do. I think the president has been using tariffs as a weapon, but I'm not sure what else there is, because China is building its military up around this tiny little enclave. You know, I don't know how much our listeners know about Hong Kong, but it's a tiny little place. It's 400 square miles. That's it.
With 7.4 million people.
7.5 million people now.
It's gone up.
And it's gone up this year. They just have new numbers from 2019. Uh-huh. And they have so far, their population is growing. Mm-hmm. But it is one of the most densely populated places in the world. Yeah. And you have something like 17,500 people per square mile. Think about that.
Wow. Wow. That are some numbers.
So,
which is why they're building up. You got to build high there. You can't build, you know, I mean, that's all you can do.
And if you see, not only do you have to build high, but you have to build small. So if you go up Victoria Mountain They have a special train that goes up there that's like a cog railway. And if you go up there and you look at the, at night particularly, and you look at these apartment buildings, they're very, very narrow. The apartments are in these buildings are tiny, and they're very close together. And they're like sticks climbing up the mountain. It's something just, and of course the lights are on, so they're twinkling, and it's very beautiful. But the every inch of space is used in Hong Kong in order to maximize the possibility for the population. And so, you know, we have, but with all that, the GDP of Hong Kong, which was $1.3 billion in 1960,
wow,
is now $363 billion.
That's incredible.
Imagine.
It is incredible. They have, Ilana, the highest economic freedom score in the world. And by this list, by the way, if I remember correctly, I think we're number 12 on this list. And this is the index of economic freedom. It's an annual report that's put out, you probably know, by the Wall Street Journal and the Heritage Foundation.
Yeah.
And what it does is it's countries are assessed on as free, mostly free, moderately free, mostly unfree, and repressed. Obviously, we know where China would fall in that. Think in those terms a minute now, Ilana, what I just shared with you. So China would be in the repressed market. That's where they would be. And yet, so they're on the back end of that scale. And Hong Kong, who they're trying to grab and take back over, is at the tip top in the world. I mean, they're number one on this list. We're number 12 on this list. Is that amazing?
Amazing. And the interesting thing is that China wants to take it back and take it over. But if they do that, they will apply some of their own restrictions. And they will, as I said, kill the goose that laid the golden egg. They're going to destroy it. And China will suffer, Hong Kong will suffer, and frankly, the world will suffer.
Yeah,
but they're aware of this.
China's aware they're going to screw it up, though, don't you think? I mean, they got to know. They know they're going to mess it up.
Difficult to know. I don't have an answer for you. The stupidity of trying to interfere with this free economy is so huge.
Yeah.
And particularly, look at what's happening to China's own economy. It's failing.
Right. Yeah. Well, so, and that's all tied to all of this with all the tariffs and everything that's playing on. It's all connected. Well, listen, when they say swift consequences again, and like, all right, so I just want to keep going with Congress here a minute. So we define again swift consequences of the fact there's not a damn thing we can do, Ilana. So I just let me put that out there a moment for people who are undecided or decided how we're going to put our flag of freedom up into the air, Ilana. You know what I mean? This is what we do here, right? I mean, so that's...
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, it's insane.
That's what we're all about.
But we can't... But that's all we can do is like wish, hope, and tell them to be good boys and girls. What are we going to do? Send them... In fact, China just denied two United States military warships from going into Hong Kong on a peaceful... this was a visit. This was just a visit, Ilana. You've seen that. They just denied it.
Yeah, well, this can be expected because China is going to has already blamed the United States for interfering. And this morning, I saw on the television a live video of two demonstrators carrying huge American flags. And that's like sticking your finger in someone's eye.
Well, and the Chinese are not happy about that, by the way, that people are using U.S. American flags, and they're really ripping pissed about that. All right, so let me continue to tell Congress here. Representative, this when I mentioned moments ago here, I talked about the bipartisan, Ilana, and I always chuckle when they say bipartisan, but anyways, we get it. There's nothing bipartisan about Washington. But Representative Elliot Engel, the Democrat out of New York, and Michael McCaul, the Republican out of Texas, they said in their joint bipartisan malarkey, we have deep respect for the brave efforts of Hong Kong people from every walk of life who have demonstrated their clear desire for freedom, democracy, and the rule of law. Now, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, she came and she just called on President Trump. I mean, she just put out a notice to him, and she's asking the president to go further than his previous statement on Hong Kong and urged the de-escalation of protests, is what the Speaker of the House says. I want to go to the Twitter feed now, and I want to take a look at some live tweets and things with you, Ilana. And let me read and tell everybody the president's tweet. And the only thing he has responded to up to this moment in time is this. Our intelligence has informed us that the Chinese government is moving troops to the border with Hong Kong. Everyone should be calm and safe! Exclamation mark. That was his tweet, Ilana, to the world, to our citizens in Hong Kong and to China. So the president is saying, he's telling all of us, what he's done is he's informed the Chinese that we know that they've moved troops to the border. Isn't it funny how we use Twitter now for high diplomacy, Ilana? You know, Ilana? You know, it's pretty wild, isn't it?
Absolutely amazing.
So we're using Twitter for high diplomacy. So the president puts a tweet out, says, okay, China, we know you got troops on the border. Okay, cool. All right, everyone should remain calm and safe. Don't anybody slit your wrist, please. Okay, that's the message from the president, basically. And that's all he has said to this point, Ilana. And that's why Nancy Pelosi comes out and says, you've got to say more. But again, I ask the question, what can the president do? Let's take a look at the Twitter feed, because there's not much we can really do. I mean, what are we going to do? Penalize him for more tariffs and problems and things? I mean, so Manny's got a tweet out here. Trump said that everyone should be calm and safe. Now the Chinese are moving their troops to the Hong Kong border. I don't think Trump knows that China engages in human rights violations every single day. What do you think will happen to these protesters if they get caught? And that's exactly the message. You see what they're saying, Ilana. And I see a lot of people here on Twitter saying they're worried about the safety of the protesters. In fact, another one, Inti, says they will kill peaceful protesters like they did in 1989. What do you say about that, Ilana?
Well, I think it's a real possibility. I'm not sure they're ready to do that yet. And if the president is willing to take a firmer stand, there's not much he can do. There are other things that can be done, but let me just concentrate on what our government can do. Without getting into a conflict, which would really start a global war, and he's not going to do that, there's very little that he can do except to rattle his saber. And so I think these comments are absolutely on point, that what is likely to happen or what is possible to happen is that the people are going to suffer at the hands of the Chinese army and the military. And that's going to be harsh, and the people are truly going to suffer. Now, there are other things that can be done. And let me just slip this in here before we go on. From a financial point of view, understanding that Hong Kong is one of the leaders in the financial world of the world, companies are going to pull their assets out of Hong Kong. The market is going to be depleted because the companies are going to leave. Mm-hmm. It's just what happened in 1997 when Britain turned over Hong Kong to China. A huge number of very wealthy people left China and went to Canada.
Yeah.
And they went there. And the funny thing was that when they went there, the local language stopped being English and started being Cantonese.
There you go.
Because there were so many Chinese who had left Hong Kong and moved to Canada. So this is something that we have a precedent in. And so I think one of the outcomes of this is that very quickly Hong Kong is going to lose its financial base. And that would be a terrible shame, but it will also hurt everybody.
Well, another tweet from RD says, thank you, Mr. President, for keeping us all informed. You are more transparent than Obama ever was. And you know, Ilana, that's why a lot of people like the president on Twitter, because of the transparency. Even that one simple tweet I just mentioned to you that he put out on China, he was able to tell both China and the people here in this country that he's aware of the troop movement, and he's telling people to be safe and secure. Now, that's the power of social media, right?
Absolutely, yeah. The power. The hope is that a lot of thought goes into these tweets before they're actually put out there. I think this one had a lot of thought put into it. This was not something that was just off the cuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
Let me correct you on something here. Let me correct you. Most tweets do not have a lot of thought put into them.
This tweet sounds like it was well crafted, and it was meant to send a message to China.
Sure. Another tweet from someone in Hong Kong says this is a resident now in Hong Kong. Now, again, that's the power of social media. This one says, "Mr. President, China broke the agreement." Well, we know that. They stole our government and police force. Hong Kong is now no government land. We, the Hong Kong people, request general vote to decide the future of Hong Kong. United States Navy can visit Hong Kong anytime for any length of stay. We, the people, agreed. Wow.
Wow.
Well, that's right from the Hong Kong mainland. So you see what that Twitter person said, that Hong Kong resident there said. They're not happy, clearly. And they also give permission, we the people there, we the people agree. U.S. Navy can visit anytime. That's in response to their request to deny entrance to the United States military vessels, clearly, you know.
The beauty of Twitter is that you can respond immediately. You can broadcast news.
You're in real time. Real time. Yeah, real time.
In real time. And so it gets out immediately.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Around the world, nonetheless. Hey, let me read you another one. This one's another one from the Hong Kong mainland there. Mr. President, evidence showed it was undercover Hong Kong policemen disguised as CCP policemen and from China who attacked civilians and intentionally caused chaos. I just read you that news report moments ago, Alana, so that CCP can justify the troops. Any sane mind knows CCP's tricks. CCP is breaking China-British joint agreement. Here's another one, Alana, you see?
Yeah, this is for sure. This is exactly what's happening. Yeah. And this is, it's duplicitous. And I think, you know, the demonstrators are very savvy. And they are trying to keep one step ahead of the police all the time. And the way they do it, first of all, they do not have a leader. There is nobody leading this movement. The way in which they communicate is through forums and messaging apps. And they use, to communicate on the street, they used pre-decided hand signals so that they know what to do, where to go, what to move, where, what direction they should move in, and so forth. And they are very, very savvy. I don't think the police are that savvy. The police are clumsy. But the police do want to start as much violence as possible and then blame it on the demonstrators.
Yeah, without a doubt. Another tweet here, CC says, "Thank you, President Trump, for informing America what is actually happening with Hong Kong and China." So again, people appreciating it and mentioning it out to him. But here's another one where they're not happy. So, this is what happens in a free society. Leslie says, "You're not the president of China. Hell, you're not even the president of the United States. So what the hell are you even talking about? I am sure they are listening to you over there. Go back to your executive time and leave the adult into competent adults."
The silent majority has spoken. We say, let the silent voices be heard. You can be the voice of change. Contact our producer at liberty@americaoutloud.com. liberty@americaoutloud.com.
All right, so Alana, what do you think about Hong Kong leader Carrie Lam? So what do you think the chances are that she will step down or that they'll get her out of office?
I don't think they're very good. Carrie Lam has been one of the demands that the early demonstrations made after they demanded that the bill be withdrawn, the extradition bill be withdrawn. They demanded that Carrie Lam step down, and she refused. And she continues to refuse, and she continues to apologize, and she continues to give any
Ilana, talk about her relationship a moment with the mainland. Take a minute and tell folks, what's her relationship like with the mainland, with Xi Jinping and China itself?
She is a puppet of the Chinese government.
Exactly.
On the mainland. She was appointed by, see, they were supposed to have on Hong Kong, they were supposed to have elections for their own government. That was taken away from them very early. Yeah. The Chinese government appointed the representatives to the government in Hong Kong, and Carrie Lam was appointed as executive director of Hong Kong.
So, Ilana, they never had a chance. Ilana, let me get right with you. So, listen, when that happened, they never had a chance because right away, you see what I say earlier to you. They take a little bit away, a little bit away, a little bit away, and then they're in there, and now they're really cracking down. But, I mean, why didn't the Hong Kong people do something then when they appointed their leader, the mainland, did? That wasn't anything about freedom. That broke the agreement they had with Britain right there.
It did, and I can't give you an answer as to why it was not a trigger for this kind of demonstration. My understanding is that there have been earlier demonstrations, but they were much smaller. They were much smaller, and they petered out. This is something that is unprecedented anywhere in China since the uprising that was in. That resulted in Tiananmen Square. And since then, there hasn't been anything like this until now. But these people who are out there, and by the way, they're being accused of being, you know, young kids who are out there and don't know what they're doing. This is the population of Hong Kong. It's people of all ages going out and demonstrating because they want to keep their freedoms. They do not want to suffer under Chinese communism.
We're seeing the tipsy-turvy of the stock market here in the United States over the past many weeks here. And, I mean, there's been multiple times it's taken a deep, deep dive. Just in the last couple of days, we've seen that again. And that's playing to the fears of China. It's playing to the fears of the trade war. It's playing to the fears of Hong Kong. And quite frankly, another thing, just to show you, Ilana, what's happening right now, trending on Twitter in the last couple of days, too, is hashtag Trump recession. And they're trying to push that message out there, which the left is pushing very well. In fact, you're seeing people like Bill Maher and other Democratic operatives praying for an American recession, praying for pain here economically so they can pull Trump out of office. It's an interesting juxtaposition for the country, isn't it?
I don't believe we're going to have a deep recession like we have had before. I've been following this fairly closely, and although I know the market is highly volatile right now, it's also August, so the volumes are relatively low, which means that the dips and the, you know, peaks are much more exaggerated than they would be, let's say, in September and October. So I think we really have to see, in addition to which, our Fed is likely to lower the rates maybe, you know, half a basis point.
Well, I can tell you this, Ilana. President Donald J. Trump is not going to allow from the Oval Office. He would be the one president who would take drastic measures. If he had to get out and open up lemonade stands from coast to coast, I mean, this man, I don't think he would want a recession on his watch. This would be an interesting contest for him, wouldn't it be?
It would be a very interesting contest, and I agree with you that he would do everything in his power to avoid it.
Yeah.
But there's something that I really want to say about what the Democrats are doing. This is a highly organized plan on the part of the Democrats to disrupt the president's economy.
Of course.
And to weaponize the language that they use in order to bring down every positive aspect of what the president...
Well, they want to sabotage the whole thing, Ilana, of course, because this is called an election strategy. And, you know, when the economy tanks, the sitting president goes bye-bye, you see? But listen, Ilana, if you can't impeach him, if you can't Muellerize him, if you can't, you know, get him out of there somehow, then you got to do stuff like this.
You know what? It's destructive to the country. These people are not patriots. They're
senators. They don't care. They don't care about that. I mean, God, that's clear. They've already showed their hand of cards. This is all clear playing. All right, I want to get back. Let me read you this tweet here. This is another one, Ilana, from the Hong Kong mainland. I was reading Mr. Lam. And he says, "Thanks for supporting the Hong Kong people, Mr. President. As a Hong Konger, hope you can take tough on China and Hong Kong, which include economic and trade sanctions. China and its Hong Kong government have betrayed human rights and rule of law. Please support the Hong Kong people." Ilana, that one has to touch your heart, doesn't it?
It breaks my heart, actually, because I don't know how much hope there really is in what he's praying for. This is something that is, the Hong Kong people are so incredible.
Yeah.
They are just extraordinary people that they're going out and doing this and taking on the communist Chinese government. Yeah. It's just extraordinary. The bravery that's involved here is something that we have unfortunately lost in this country.
Yeah, absolutely.
I my hat is off to them, and I pray for them because they're up against a very, very harsh reality.
Yeah. Another tweet from Richard Hossie says, "This response from real Donald Trump to the situation in Hong Kong is truly inadequate. He should be calling on mainland authorities to meet all of their obligations associated with the 1997 handover, to act with restraint, and to enter into a dialogue with the residents of Hong Kong." What do you say about that, Ilana? What's wrong with, why aren't we doing this?
Why we aren't doing it, I can't say, but I do agree with it. I think the president is walking a tightrope right now. I think he's still trying to salvage the trade agreements, but I think it's time for him to step up and recognize what's really going on here and say, okay, you know what? We'll put the trade talks aside. We're going to put our tariffs on Chinese goods as we had planned on September 1st, and we are going to demand of China that they honor their agreement of 1990. It was actually hammered out in 1996 and implemented in 1997, and they need to honor it fully.
That's what he's saying. That's what this Richard Haas is saying, exactly that.
I agree completely.
Well, and there's some sense with that, to remind the Chinese about the handover agreement that was implemented in 97, and back to a dialogue with the Hong Kong residents is an interesting strategy that Richard is asking for. The limitations, there are limitations, clearly, without us, you know, getting into, as you say, some kind of a war that nobody would want to have, clearly, Ilana. But also, more than that, is to create the distress that is already happening here. You know, when these things happen, Ilana, like they happen, and I know we've talked before about, I know Xi Jinping and Trump are talking about coming together, to meet up again and to have a conversation about this. But I'm always thinking, when you have this sort of a confrontation, this is the time when world leaders do need to meet. More than anything, I'd like to see the president offer right now to meet with Xi Jinping and have a summit. Get with him immediately. Get with him somewhere. I don't care if you meet with him. Pick a place. It doesn't have to be Mar-a-Lago. Could be anywhere. And maybe it's a neutral ground. But meet somewhere. Get cooler heads to prevail. Talk about all these things. Put it on the table. And, you know, a lot of this could be salvation for Xi Jinping as well, couldn't it?
It could be. I don't know that Xi Jinping is going to agree to meet with him at this point.
No, he probably wouldn't.
Because he is, yeah. But there's another thing also that could be done. And that would be if the president is able, it's not clear that he could, but if he's able to put together a coalition of like-minded countries, governments, and come together and put pressure on China from multiple countries, not just from the United States.
Yeah, the problem with that is China has such pride. Whenever you do that, you know what will happen is we'll go back to pre-Nixon days, is we'll isolate them. And they'll say, go to hell. Have a good day.
They are facing so many problems right now that they really can't afford to do that, as much as it might be attractive to them.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, it's China, and saving face is a major part of their diplomatic process.
It is. I don't think they're going to care. I don't think they'll care at all. But I hear you. I mean, I agree with you. But I don't think they care, and I think they'll do what they have to do. You know, and part of the problem here, Lana, is they've had their cake and they've been eating it too over the past many decades, which I pointed out to you earlier. You have to remember, Trump has come in. He's a transformative president. He's a transformative leader. And this China needed to be transformed. the relationship, we've been their bitch child for some time now, Ilana. And clearly the president has pointed that out more than once. He pointed it out when he ran the campaign. He pointed it out as president here. And so clearly, previous Bush, Clinton, Bush, Obama, and the last many regimes here in the United States have done a horrible job of bending one over and taking one for the team, if I might be so frank with you, Miss Ilana Friedman.
I think we have, as a country, taken an awful lot of garbage from China.
Yeah.
We have, you know, the scene from Anna and the King of Siam, where the king and I, where she says, she bends over and she's in a soliloquy and she's pretending that she's asking the King of Siam to kick her in the rear. And she's, oh, that was good. Do it again. Well, that's what we've been doing. We've been bending over for the Chinese and asking them to kick us, and they kick us, and then they say, oh, that was good, please do it again.
This
is exactly what you're talking about, Malcolm, and it's what we've been doing for decades.
Well, that's why they don't want Trump to win the election. And that's why, that's what we're talking about right now, Ilana, is the singular reason why there's no chance, in my opinion, to have a trade deal before the election in 2020. You talk about violating elections and a lot of cyber warfare here. The Chinese are going to make the Russians look like they're standing still right now coming into the 2020 election. You know that?
The Russians look like children. They are very advanced in these areas, and they have a lot at stake because they do not want to be accountable.
No, they want no President Trump in
2020. This is the way they prevent it.
Yeah, no President 20. They don't want a President Trump anymore, Ilana. They're done with him and they're done with his programs and they're going to do everything. And what's really wrong about this picture is what makes me really angry, Ilana, is the way our political, you cannot call them leaders, Ilana, but the political misfits in our country, in this haven, this cesspool called Washington, D.C., and I say that with disgust, in the way they have acted in these past many, many years and these past months, and the way they've taken Russia, and Russia, a country we could have had a reasonable relationship with, Ilana. We could have done some really good things with Russia. There's some very much mutual things we need to do together. One of them is even China, as well as other things. And we haven't played Russia. And our politicians, they have butchered the relationship with Russia. And yet, at the same time, while all this was going on, China was always the boogeyman we needed to worry about. And yet, we've expended all this energy and time and media propaganda and dollars and baloney here worrying about Russia. And Russia is nowhere near the misfit and the problem in the contest to the United States is that China is. Isn't that sick? Ilana, sick beyond sick?
It is, but I don't feel as comfortable with Russia as you do. They are duplicitous, right?
I don't feel comfortable with them, Ilana. I didn't say I'm comfortable with them, but I think there's a lot we can do with Russia, and I think we're better to have those adversaries to be talking and have a relationship with them than to alienate them the way we have.
That is, insofar as it's possible to do that, I agree with you. It's just that there is a distrust that is based on reality as far as Russia is concerned, but they are not China. And I certainly agree with you like that. China is the major devil in this picture, and they are the ones that we really need to confront in as many ways as possible to end this very, very hurtful relationship that we have had with them in the past.
Yeah, it's frustrating when you see what we have to deal with now and what we're doing. But you know, most of the tweets that I'm seeing are very much in support of Hong Kongers, clearly, and support of the independence that Hong Kong deserves, clearly. And I'm seeing a lot of people from from Hong Kong that are responding here in Twitter.
You know what's interesting, Malcolm, is that I wonder how much influence these tweets, this torrent of tweets, has on the Chinese government. Do they look at this as as something that they need to be careful of, or are they looking at this as something they need to squash?
Well, let me tell you this. Most of these countries, if they could, they would squash it, but they can't. Because, again, they don't control that switch right there, but they probably could in Hong Kong. And most other countries do that. They do it in all the other countries. They shut the social media right off, don't they?
Yes, they do. And this has not been done so far. And that's very interesting. I don't know whether it's because China does not have the capability of turning off the social media in Hong Kong, or whether they just have been reluctant to do it for one reason or another. But the social media is how these demonstrators are communicating with each other. So this is something that may happen in the near future if they have the capability of doing it.
Yeah, it may be. I don't know, Alana, but, you know, clearly something's going to have to give here. I mean, it looks like we're headed to the tipping point. I mean, something that I thought that this thing would kind of recorrect itself at some point, that the Chinese would stop and pull back from that, you know, extradition law they're trying to push on people there, Alana, but it does not look like they're doing that. You know, the action item, something's going to have to give here. I don't know. Best outcome is what's the best outcome that we can hope for?
The best outcome would be if China backs off and makes some accommodation to these demonstrators, to the people of Hong Kong, which is to say to back off some. They had four demands, that the bill be withdrawn, that the people who had been arrested would be released, that the police tactics would be condemned, and that executive director would resign, Carrie Lam. And none of those things have happened. But that the best outcome would be if the demands were met, the people will go home, and China will back off, not in that order. And that would be the best outcome. But I don't think that's going to happen. I think what's going to happen is at some point, there is going to be some kind of confrontation. And if that happens, it will not end well. It will end badly for everybody concerned.
Mm. And you think that's where we're headed?
I believe it is, because I don't think the Chinese government is smart enough to back off. Yeah. And they have this need to save face and show their strength and show their power and their dominance. And they made a decision to take over Hong Kong and to squash the freedom there. And it is the worst decision in the world, but it seems to be the direction that they're going in.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, friends, you know, as we talk about this Hong Kong, there's a lot of thoughts that come to my mind. First, let's give a big thank you to Alana Friedman. And also, I want you to support Alana and take a look at her book. She's got an awesome collection of books on Amazon. But even more than that, just go to the America Out Loud bookstore. And it's right on the navigation bar at AmericaOutloud.com. We've built a beautiful bookstore there. It's very pleasant. It's beautiful to be in there. And not only that, but you can support all these great people on our platform. We have a lot of best-selling authors and great personalities. And a lot of our star guests that are on our shows as well, those books are up there as well. So visit the bookstore and buy some books. Let people know about that. And, you know, what is the world without reading, right? We all got to read, and that's how we get informed. But, well, listen, I am hopeful and prayerful that the Hong Kong people, that somehow they see a brighter day in the future, that somehow that the best is in front of them. It's ahead of them, not behind them. I mean, you know, when you think of repressive governments and you think of communist regimes and you think of the human rights violations that go on, not just in China, but around the world, it is a sad day for all of humanity. When these things are happening. And it certainly, as you already know, it saddens me. And I know it saddens you as well. But, you know, America, again, is that beacon, friends. It's that beacon of light and that beacon of freedom and hope that we have to hold on to. That we cherish. But there's only so much we can do. We cannot police the entire world, sadly. We cannot push our form of our freedom and democracy around the world, sadly. We can only hope and convince people to be that beacon of light for all of humanity. I know there are those in this country who think we should be involved in everybody's affairs, but we simply cannot. And I know there are those that think that we should stay out of everything. The libertarians that think that it doesn't matter, but it does matter. It does matter. We live in a global world. And so I have a view that is neither there or there. You know, I mean, it's that medium that it's a line we have to straddle here properly. We have to do what's right for the American people, number one. That's first and foremost, you know, right? And then, you know, we do the best we can. And hopefully, as I said to Alana just a while ago, maybe if we could get Xi Jinping, but we're dealing with some very difficult people here, friends. But the only saving grace or blessing maybe in it is that President Trump had developed that working relationship and a bit of a relationship with Xi Jinping. I mean, they seem to genuinely like each other. But I think Xi Jinping is on the hot ropes right now in his country. And anything goes, what's going to happen. You remember, in a country like this, with a military like that, and all that is there, my friends, all bets are off. And I mean all bets. We don't know whether Xi Jinping will be here next year or not at this time, or whether they take another turn there. You know, that's the bottom line. Well, thank you again for being on and being here, part of the journey here on the Voice of a Nation. It's time to get involved and get loud.